It's Thursday, October 17th, 2013, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 34, Future Ninjas Are Boring. Running time for this episode is 44 minutes. Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that isn't coming to you from communist Russia. My name is Jeremy.
My name is Zach.
I ninja'd in.
Who ninja'd in? I didn't see them. They were a ninja.
Exactly.
It's Tyler.
What you say? You've been playing that... Oh, man, that would have been a good joke if I could remember what the name of that game is.
Zero Wing. I only know this because in my random shuffle of all my music, Zero Wing Rhapsody came up this morning.
That's a good song. Somebody set us up.
It's only a good song because Bohemian Rhapsody is a good song.
Okay, but how many songs is that true of? At least two.
I want to play Monkey Island now. I've never played it before, but that made me really want to play it.
Okay. What have you been playing, Tyler?
This last week, not a whole lot, because I actually went on vacation this last week and didn't play anything like the week before. So, Odin Sphere? I'm still playing that.
Your video game cred is weak.
I know. Some more Puzzle Quest.
I'm trying to think.
Oh, I played a ton of Terraria on Tuesday. I forgot about that. We played, like, probably close to 5 hours, and it was pretty awesome. We got, like, 5 people on the server, and it was sweet.
Yay, Terraria. It's like Minecraft, but fewer dimensions.
Yeah, and also more weapons. It's much more goal-oriented than Minecraft. I enjoy them in different ways. But, yeah, I haven't actually been playing a whole lot. I played, like, a little bit of Counter-Strike while I was Insomniatic last night. Which is also when I played this game. But...
See, I played League of Legends when I was Insomniatic last night. So I'll transition to that instead of making fun of Zach like I was going to. I played through my League of Legends placement matches, and I'm happy because our friend Kevin, who plays, is Bronze 1, and I made Silver 3.
Awesome.
Kevin's in Bronze?
Yeah. He's Bronze 1, which is you want a low number and a precious medal. Technically, you want Challenger, which is not a medal as far as I'm aware.
It's more regimented than StarCraft?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, you want a precious... Okay, I see now. So you want the lowest number possible and also the most precious of metals? Is there a Platinum League?
No, I can't remember if it's Platinum or Diamond.
Thorium?
No, and then goes Challenger.
Oh, man. And every time you start a match in Challenger, or every time it announces that you're in that rank, it has to play Wild Challenger. The intro song to Bobobo.
And when you get in, everyone gets a notification there that says, "Here comes a new Challenger."
He can shoot fireballs diagonally downward, but that doesn't matter.
We're looking up at stuff on the internet. I should have made you look at Meteos, because for the World Championships, they like put a video. It's like all the like major players from teams animated, but somehow Meteos looks less like an anime character when he's in an animated video than he does in real life. Also been watching the World Championships. Fnatic, who I was kind of rooting for after they took down Cloud9, got beat by China. So the finals are Royal Club versus... SK Telecom T1, Korea versus China. Everyone's surprised.
SK Telecom T1. I assume
that's one hell of a team name.
It's almost as good as Samsung Galaxy Ozone.
I suppose no worse than Sports Authority Field.
Yeah.
I really feel like you should at least be able to have your official team name is name of your team sponsored by that thing.
Well, a lot of them are like Team Solo Mid is technically TSM Snapdragon, but no one calls them that because they're TSM. Vulcan is Vulcan Tech Bargains. Everyone just calls them Vulcan or Vulcan Throw Bargains because they're well known for getting an early league and not sealing the deal.
They're like the Atlanta Falcons?
Yeah. Sadly, Moscow 5 is now Gambit Gaming because of their sponsor. And Ninjas in Pajamas is Lemon Dogs because of their sponsor.
I actually feel like these are not necessarily downgrades in names, so...
Also playing a little Kingdom of Loathing. Not much to report on that front except for the new item of the month came out, I think, yesterday. Maybe the day before. It's a reanimated reanimator. He takes pieces off monsters you defeat and reanimates them, so then you can fight copies of those monsters.
Oh, that's kind of neat.
Yeah, and I got Scribblenauts Unmasked, the game I've been talking about coming out, because it came out, where it's Scribblenauts plus DC characters. I'm a little disappointed because very rarely do you need to summon DC characters.
But you can, so...
Yeah, that's cool. Like, I can type Batman Inc., and then I've got, like, 30 different versions of Batman to do my bidding. And that's sort of nice. But at the same time, if I type in Superman, it gives me, like, 30 options, and that's awesome. But they're all functionally identical. And that's really dissatisfying.
That's actually the problem I had with the original Scribblenauts, is a lot of the things that you could do all behaved very similarly.
And the puzzles feel less interesting to me than the original Scribblenauts.
Well, considering whenever you need to solve any puzzle, you just put in Batman and he solves it for you, right?
No, actually. Like I said, there's not much use for the DC characters. They did a thing where there's different areas, and each area is like an open world thing where there are people with problems, and they give you points to unlock new areas, but all the problems are really simple to solve. Like, oh no, I have a plague. You type medicine and hand it to them. And they're like, thanks.
To be fair, this is what would happen if you were actually Isaac with a notebook that created things. So.
Yeah, I mean, creatively it's interesting, but none of the challenges are really hard. And even like the challenge levels, the first one was a big problem for me because I just couldn't figure anything out at first. It was Metallo had tied up Jimmy Olsen and Lois Lane to bombs, and Superman needed just me to distract him so he could save them with his super speed. And I was like sort of on a lower platform outside, and it took me a while to realize I could give myself the adjectives flying and magnetic and just fly in and grab him. But that was the only hard puzzle, and it was the first one. And all the ones since, like, I feel like they just hand me the answer.
You can't just put in distraction?
I tried that. I tried hot girl. Because he kept macking on Lois Lane, but whenever I put a prettier hot girl up there, he would just go attack them.
Well, maybe the hot girl was wielding her fingernails.
No, she was on fire. That's how it chose to interpret that.
Technically true, I suppose.
She does have an excess of thermal energy.
You unlock characters' origin stories, and that's really disappointing because it outright tells you what to do, but it's the Batman one is pretty good. It's like, gives young Bruce Wayne something to cheer him up right after his parents have died.
I'm assuming collection of porn was not an option.
You might have been. I didn't try. I tried giant give him teddy bear.
Not a family butler?
I consider that. The first thing you have to do is summon a doctor for your sister who has injured herself somehow, and I tried Alfred. It's like, he doesn't need Alfred, she needs a doctor. Gynecologist, on the other hand, totally works.
Too bad you can't just summon Bones.
I didn't think of that. You can do Dr. Fate, and that works, even though he has magic powers and not doctor powers.
I feel like you could use the magic to achieve similar results.
Well, Alfred is a field medic!
But he doesn't have his kit on him.
So it's okay. It's a little dissatisfying, unfortunately. I'll probably finish it. I'm more than halfway done. One of the big problems, I think, is there are three different currencies. Superman currency, Batman currency, and everyone else currency. And so you just need way more everyone else currency. Also, Cyborg. They're like, Cyborg is cool. Help him. Yeah, Cyborg. Cyborg.
Kids, Cyborg is only one step away from being a Cyberman.
Yeah. Well, that's the current plot in the comics, is that all his robot parts detached and became evil. And so he's just like a bleeding out stump on the floor. It's not very good. I don't really know who it's for, because the puzzles are super simple and aimed at kids, but kids don't care who Arm Fall Off Boy is, or that he's in this game and it's awesome, or how you can type in the Zoo Crew and there are like 10 of them. Like, there are characters I didn't know about in this game.
So how'd you find out about them?
There's lots of like link wandering. You get a bat computer and you can do searches through it.
Oh.
So it gives you an internal Wikipedia?
Yeah. And it's like Batman. See, also Batwoman, Pig, Bat
Pig.
Batarang, Batman's jetpack. There are six different jetpacks.
Wow.
Batman's
and they're all
jet
functionally
pack,
identical.
Superman's jetpack, Aquaman's jetpack.
Superman's jet. Why would Superman need a jetpack?
Because he felt left out.
Flying, fire breathing robotic Tyrannosaurus is an answer to many problems. The story is pretty cool because, like, they just treat you like you're a superhero. Since, you know, you are. And you're like, yeah, you should be on our Justice League. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Nonsense. You can only
that is
summon
actually pretty, like,
pretty much whatever you can think of.
There, like, isn't a story in the first one, but I do like that they just treat you like a superhero because you have a magic notebook of death.
Well, the story is you and your sister are arguing whether Superman or Batman is better. So you use your magic notebook and write Gotham City and put it on her magic globe that lets you travel anywhere. But apparently on the back of the piece of paper, evil clone was written. So there's an evil clone of you going around helping the villains. And you've got to stop him.
Who wrote that?
I don't know. That is something I was curious about, too.
You have a weird pen that bleeds through weird different words?
I think maybe in the previous game that I didn't play, Scribblenauts Unlimited, the first one that you had adjectives in, maybe you needed an evil clone for something. I don't know. He gives Lex Luthor the adjective Kryptonian, and then you have to give Superman some like a lead suit and a kryptonite spear to beat him. And that's pretty cool, but again, it's very hand-holdy.
That's unfortunate.
I mean, there's a cool thing where you and Green Lantern have a make stuff out of your imagination off. There's lots of cool things, but it feels lacking.
It's more spectacle than it is actual game.
Yeah, the Wii U version has multiplayer, and I'm curious to try what that would be, because I don't really know, but...
I would build forts, and we would summon things to battle for each other. It would be like Duel Monsters in Yu-Gi-Oh!
But... I play Booster Gold in defense mode!
You have activated my trap card! I have a Batcave!
No! Is there anything more satisfying to say than you've activated my trap card, Zach?
Huh?
Have you activated any trap cards recently?
Have you activated any gaming consoles?
Yeah, I'm playing a lot of XCOM, and on Monday I played a lot of StarCraft 2 with a friend, Jason. We played a lot of 4v4. Apparently, one of the people he plays a lot of StarCraft 2 with loves carriers for reasons I can't understand.
I mean, carriers are pretty decent in 4v4.
Not when your opponent has Mass Raven.
No, no. What beats Mass Raven, though?
A lot of other things.
I mean, Marines. Marines are pretty good at it.
Massless
Ghosts,
Raven.
Ghosts actually would be.
I was doing my... When we established what everyone's jobs were supposed to be type of thing, I was supposed to have the ground line type guys. So I had a lot of Zealots and a lot of Immortals.
Well, that's not bad. I'd probably go more Zealot Stalkery.
What the hell are Immortals?
They are anti-armor units, basically. They have big cannons that do extra damage versus armor. And they have shields that... Well, you know Protoss units have shields, right?
Yeah.
While their shields are up, they take a maximum of 10 damage from each attack.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, screw siege tanks is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, they are very heavily anti, like, siege tank and ultralisk.
They're good against marauders, too, and Vikings that are landed, so they have a lot of uses, but they're not a great mass unit because they come from the robotics facility, not your gateways.
Why I like using them. You're probably not going to have more than maybe two robos.
Yeah, robos cost gas to set up.
Ah.
And Immortals are sort of niche, so you don't want a lot of them.
Gotcha.
Whereas you want, like, 9 gateways to warp in all the Zealots.
They're a good unit. I really like them, and I even freely admit that I like them more than I probably should.
They're the best at what they do, you might say. You might say they're all Wolverine.
No.
Well, I mean, they're pretty good at what they do.
So they're like X?
23. Yeah, I was going to make that joke. You beat me to it.
Other than that, I just started Rune Factory 4, released a couple days ago. These guys have a really weird way of going about figuring out who their prince is. Because you fall out of the sky onto a dragon, like, oh, you must be the prince. The prince's name is Arthur. My name is not that. Well, you have amnesia, so clearly you can't be trusted. No, I remember one thing. It's my name. It's not that. And then the prince shows up and goes, no, that's totally cool. You can say, I want to go do something else.
That's apparently how you get to be mayor in Animal Crossing, is you show up and they assume you're the mayor, and then the mayor sends you a letter saying, hey, I totally ditched mayor duty. Hope you're having fun with that.
Electorals, what are those? Delegates, voting, due process.
But, yeah, it's like...
They're animals. The mayor is a lion, de facto.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to Enemy Within for XCOM, the expansion of it.
Quite.
More psychic powers.
I don't know if it has more psychic powers, but it does have mecha soldiers.
And everything's better with mechs.
And it's got, like, mecha soldiers, and then there's supposed to be something else. I can't remember right now. I had it on my Game Informer that told me about the Mutant League Football thing.
Guys who attack aliens with katanas.
Well, it was like a sensory thing. Like, you could upgrade shooting or will or something like that. I don't remember exactly what it was. It was just more stuff, like more maps and other things. It sounded really cool.
Well, on the docket today is Strider, another Genesis game, and if we were going to make a Genesis game checklist, this is so Genesis game. It's 10 out of Genesis.
It's not Genesis out of 10?
No, no. Tyler, I made a mistake and told him to play a Master System version, which was the one I thought was available on the Virtual Console, but it's the Genesis version instead.
You insidious evil.
Turns out they're very similar, but...
Well, the Genesis one looks way better.
Apparently.
Way better. Like, have you not seen it?
No, I haven't.
It actually looks decent.
Looks very good. When we did Gunstar Heroes way back when, I didn't really like it as much as Tyler or Alex, but I couldn't really put my finger on why, so I didn't really speak up. And I think, thanks to Strider, I finally figured it out.
Thanks, Strider.
I think that's the only word of praise we're going to give this game.
It's okay. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. And that is, when you're playing Gunstar Heroes, when you get hit, your health goes down. But that's really it.
You kind of flash a little, but it doesn't really affect you at all.
And when you kill enemies, they just sort of disappear and your bullets keep going. And it sort of starts to feel like you don't really have much agency over what's going on. Because it doesn't do a great job of presenting what's going on to you. Sure, it looks pretty. And if you're watching the whole screen, you can tell.
It's also a chaotic explosion, though, so it's kind of hard to see what's going on at any given time.
And I feel very similar in Strider. You have a sound effect for your sword that's like, shing, shing,
whing! It's just constantly going on, so.
And so when you hit an enemy, it doesn't change at all. And so you can't really tell if you hit him, if he's dead, if you need to hit him more to deal more damage.
Just spam it.
Well, yeah, but that's really dissatisfying because you don't know. And similarly, when you're hit, there's no real feeling of impact. You flash a little bit, you lose your health, but it doesn't feel like anything bad has happened.
Well,
yeah,
the Master
really
System,
die.
The only way you can keep track of your health is there's a number in the top right corner that just go, I didn't even notice that I had health.
It's a three-phase bar on the Genesis.
Let's talk about feedback channels. Zach brought up Halo earlier, and that's actually a pretty good game because you have the shields. You sort of get this glow of the shields flaring on screen when you get hit. It's not intrusive like some of the later games that took that model. But you definitely feel the impact of it, and you know where it's coming from. Similarly, you know when you're shooting enemies, although I'm not really sure how to express that, but I think it is good. I can't point at something that really signifies something.
I can. When enemies are hit, they react to it. If it's an elite, their shields flash, so you know there's impact. If it's a grunt, they recoil. And when you're firing, the rumble feature goes off.
Haptic feedback is the best.
Rumble features are really good, and they help a lot with this. But Mario, you definitely can tell every time you get hit. Part of that is because you have the shrinking animation. It's a much bigger deal.
And it
or
stops.
You just die.
Well, but if you're shrinking and you get hit, the game pauses while you shrink.
Yeah. And Mega Man, you get like hit back a little bit.
And you start flashing. It disrupts your movement greatly. There are actually some obstacles that are built around that.
Every Genesis game we've played so far, except Sonic. Sonic is an exception to this.
Has had poor feedback.
Yeah, you keep going, and
Comic Zone, you actually recoiled when you got hit.
Did you? I don't even... Like, Comic Zone is such... Like, it left such little imprint on me.
I'm pretty sure you did.
Also, you hurt yourself all the time, and there's no indication of that except your health going down.
That is still...
I'm punching this rock! It really hurts!
And that is still dumb as hell.
The first couple of times I played Strider, I slept through because there seemed to be no feedback. I mean, I was going forward, and I would get hit, but I didn't care because it didn't seem like the game thought I should. And because this is a game where getting hit is a fairly decent penalty, it's not huge. You have three hits.
Is there even, like, a sound effect for getting hit?
No. Early on, I started sleepwalking through this game. And
anytime a player is sleepwalking through the game, you have made a mistake.
So it doesn't have very good feedback control, and lots of games have done that better.
And I think that's a super important thing for a video game we've never touched on. I think feedback channels, you know, knowing, hey, I've succeeded here, whether that's beating a level or killing a Goomba, where they have the little squish animation. They did this on the NES in 1985. Or getting hit and, you know, shrinking down, recoiling.
Like, they kind of did it in this, but all that really happens is one of you flashes. Like, there isn't really any impact.
It's... Like, if the whole screen flashed, that would be much better, even if it was just, you know, a quick flash.
Yeah, you just start, you just flash a little bit.
It would put people into epileptic seizures and...
But let's talk about Strider, because it's interesting. You're in this weird communist-ish
Russia,
dystopian future.
Russia Middle East-ish. It's weird. All the upgrades are, like, tech things that, like, orbit you and stuff and, like, shoot lasers.
I didn't pick one of those up, I don't think.
Really?
I don't think I even found one of those.
The little capsules?
Yeah.
You slash those, and they have upgrades in them.
Well, on the Master System, it can't render the damn upgrades, so you just kind of, like, have to walk over the spot where they might be.
Let's talk about the upgrades. There are options, which work sort of like in Gradius.
Yeah, pretty much the exact same thing, actually.
If you get hit, you lose them, but you can get multiple, and then you can be hit multiple times.
And shoot lasers whenever you swing your sword, so.
Yeah, they're not very interesting. Well, as I got better at the game, I had them more and more often, but they don't leave a lot of imprint.
No.
They're not that useful.
I think the only one I picked up was the one that makes your sword longer.
Yeah, there's that one.
That seems like it would be super useful.
It is.
I never got that one.
It gives you a lot more range.
It's the first one you get. It's like at the beginning of the second level, there's a capsule on it.
Yeah, you can't miss that one. There's also two health power-ups that extend your health bar, and then, of course, extra health to just heal you up. and extra lives, which are rare and not that useful because of how quick lives can go in this game, and invincibility for 12 seconds, which is kind of useless everywhere it is.
Well, that's like half the level.
12 seconds?
Yeah.
That's like
if you're
a
good.
Fifth. If there's 60-second levels, then that's a fifth of the level.
So yeah, none of them really leave an impression. Like, Gradius options are awesome, but I think the work you have to go through to get those options makes them a little better.
Well, they also double your firepower.
That's true.
They have a significant impact on gameplay.
Yeah. Well, and the feedback in that game is a lot better because stuff explodes when you hit it.
Everything's better with explosions.
Exactly. And Michael Bay knows that.
Lots of enemies explode in this game, but it's so slow and delayed that you can't really tell, and there's no sound effect to it, so it doesn't have the impact.
The whing!
The biggest thing that struck me about this is Strider moves really oddly in this.
I think that's the best thing the game has going for it. The movement mechanics I find interesting. He's got a jump sort of like Samus, where he spins if you're holding forward, although it's more of a cartwheel thing than
At least on the
up.
Master System one, you can't turn around mid-jump, which I found extremely disorienting.
Oh, you can't in the Genesis one either. I didn't have any problem with
no,
that.
No, you're pretty
it's
much locked in.
I really felt like I ought to be able to turn around and slash things with my sword, you know, because I'm a ninja.
The other major mechanic is when you jump on a wall or a ceiling, you hook onto it and can climb up. And a lot of the walls, you can, like, go up through.
Yeah, that's actually pretty neat. For a game made this early, I am surprised it's there. I'm wondering if this actually influenced other games, but...
Well, I feel like that's the game's gimmick, if you want to say that, or, like, main feature is the vertical movement. It's pretty interesting.
I'd call it a gimmick.
There is actually a lot of vertical movement. There is a place at the... You encounter it fairly early in the first level, where you can't see the bottom of the screen, and so I just took a leap of faith, thinking that I had to go forward, because that's how most games work.
And you hooked on...
No, I just fell down, but you don't take fall damage. It teaches you pretty early on that the levels are largely vertical, which is pretty neat.
And there's a cool part in the third level. I know neither of you got that far. There are only five levels, so not a very big game, where there are these two walls closing in, and so you have to climb up one, but eventually, if you just climb, they will squish you. So you have to wait until they're close enough that you can start jumping through each one rapidly to get up through.
Oh,
and that's pretty
neat.
Cool.
That is actually pretty cool.
Also, there's parts where the gravity will shift. And one of the bosses, you orbit around, and, like, he's the center of gravity in the room. And that's pretty neat.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool, actually.
But that's sort of all the game has going for it. And while that's cool, there are lots of enemies that are hurting you, and you can't really tell because of all the feedback issues we talked about.
There are some, as early as the first level, that you can't really do anything about them hitting you if they want to. Like, they run at you with guns, and you can't deflect their bullets. You can't duck them.
You can jump over them. The more I played this game, the better I got at it. It's definitely good in that regard. I got to the point where I can get through the first level without being hit.
Okay.
So it's definitely fair in that way, but it's one of the classic arcade game things where they want you to spend quarters, so they want you to be parts where you die, but they want you to spend quarters so they can't just murder you right away.
Like Battletoads.
Yeah. So it's got a good progression to it. The way I played this game was I'd play... You could do like three game overs, and then it would make you restart from the beginning. So I would go through until that happened every day, and I definitely noticed an improvement in skill, and I was getting further each time I tried.
I probably didn't give this game a fair shake, but I don't know that I really want to. I probably only gave it about a half hour, honestly.
That's about what I gave it to.
It's not a game I can recommend you marathon, but it's pretty interesting to play it once a day and see yourself improving. The visual aesthetic of, like, the dystopian Russian thing is really interesting.
No one challenges the master!
The first mini-boss is, like, this wrestler guy...
Who, like, does Ken-style roles from Street Fighter Alpha.
Yeah, and then he explodes and you have to take cover, or just run away really fast.
Or just take the hit.
Yeah, well, like I said, I got through without taking hit.
Oh, fair enough.
Then the first boss is this, like, Russian council that forms together into a mechanical dragon.
Form Voltron!
And the fight is interesting because you can... Only the dragon's head hurts you, so you can jump on it, you can hang on it as it, like, does loops...
Oh, really? I didn't know that it was
in
your head.
Yeah, you can just sit there and
the Master System
spam
had
the
such a hard time rendering the damn thing that it hit me once, and then I couldn't tell where I was reliably, and so I just kept walking into it.
Oh, that sounds pretty bad.
Yeah, I could not play this game mostly due to rendering issues. The Master System seemed barely able to cope with it, so...
The Genesis, it looks really good. There are no issues like that, but there are certain parts where it just hits lag spikes, and those can be a pain. The second level has a mini-boss right after where you got stuck, Zach. That's like this flying guy with a jetpack. It's a pain because he's usually off screen and he can just run you out of time. but that's the only way he's really dangerous.
Watch out. You might take too long if you say to fight me.
And that only happened to me once, but that was enough to make sense. There's also a mechanical gorilla at the start that I got stuck on because, again, the feedback, I couldn't tell if I was hurting him or not.
Yeah, I kind of got stuck there. I also got stuck trying to get through the wall there. It took me a little while to figure out how to get that open.
Can you open it? I never figured that out. I always slid under it before it closed.
Yeah, if you stand there, push forward and whack it, eventually it will blow up and you can move underneath it before it slides back down.
The few times I got caught, I just killed myself because I didn't think you could get through there.
I just sat there and wailed on it until something blew up.
So that seems like it would be really poor game design if they, like, just said, sucks to be you, you weren't fast enough, so we're going to make you wait for the rest of the time.
Yeah.
That would be really bad. I've encountered games that do that. It's a bad idea.
Yeah. I thought there was, like, a button somewhere I couldn't find, and there are constantly respawning wolves there, which is a pain. But well, not I also if you thought maybe they did that so you could kill yourself if you got stuck.
Not if you're at the base of the wall. They won't spawn down there.
So anyway, that's as far as my friends got. After that, you, like, start jumping on, like, flying ships. Like, you have to do a platforming section on some airships. And you fight a bunch of ninja girls on an airship. And then one of them is like, as long as we have the airship Balrog, you will never stop us. So then you go there.
Yoink!
Yeah.
And then commandeer the airship Balrog?
Yeah, you blow it up.
Oh, wow.
There are lots of gravity puzzles there where the gravity is sort of reversing, which is interesting because then you're hanging on, like, the floor.
Yeah, this game seems like it has a lot of really cool concepts. It just kind of fails in execution.
It's good at never giving you the same challenge twice, really, until the last level, but...
Which is something I like in platformers. I like the culmination levels. Those are always fun.
The fourth level makes no goddamn sense, because, like, there's this person who's like, you shall see the reach of our full power, and then you're in the jungle, fighting women with axes, and there are dinosaurs, and you fight Mechagodzilla.
Did they send you back in time?
No. Ultimate power is to send you to a Japanese movie?
I guess. There are lots of piranhas. The visuals on it are bad because the pits are just slightly different colored than just the background. And there's lots of sort of background elements you can interact with that aren't obvious. But it's also the shortest level in the game.
So at least it's not horrendous?
It reeks of one of those, oh, we need another levels.
Yeah, kind of. And then you go to the moon because it's the last level. Where else would you go? There are lots of gravity puzzles there that are sort of interesting. You fight all the bosses again, and then you fight the master, who's kind of disappointingly easy. And then the game is over.
It's not a super complex game.
It's hard to say anything about it. I really didn't like it at first. Like I said, I was sleeping through. The better I got at it, the more I liked it, but it was never amazing. I'm glad that it taught me how important feedback things are, and it really made me think of that for whatever reason. I'm grateful to the game for that, but...
Well, as you said, you liked it because of Stockholm Syndrome, not because of its actually quality.
Well, but I started to have fun with it the more I played it, and isn't that one of the things about video games, is seeing yourself progress?
Isn't denial one of the symptoms of Stockholm Syndrome?
One of the symptoms of grieving. I'm not grieving over Strider. Well, I don't like when games take away your progress and make you restart. One of the cool things about playing Mario and having to do that is the levels get to the point where you can do them just on muscle memory, and that's satisfying.
That is very true. Well, Castlevania kind of gets that way. So.
Yeah. And so that has that going for it. The movement mechanics are interesting, and it gives you new cool challenges as you go along.
I feel like all the cool ideas they had in this game, they did better in the few sequels that they made. They look pretty awesome. There's a couple Game Grumps episodes on one.
Yeah, they were playing Strider 2, right? Or was it Strider Returns?
I can't remember. I think it was Strider 2, but...
Strider 2 was made by Capcom. Strider Returns was made by an American company.
I suspect it was Strider 2.
And it's clearly higher quality.
Clearly.
What do you guys want to say about Strider? Because one of the problems is it hasn't left much impression with us.
Well, that's kind
it's
of
like
the problem
Shinobi,
I have.
It's like Shinobi, but unplayable.
I mean, maybe you should give the Genesis version some time.
I probably should, but it's really
blasé. I can't really say anything about it. I mean, yeah, Mecha Kong was interesting.
Amusing.
But he didn't really do anything. I mean, as soon as I figured out what you need to do, which is walk at him and just sit there and spam sword, and once you finish that, he blows up.
That's another problem with the feedback, or really just uninteresting boss fights where it's just like an endurance challenge. ActRaiser had this problem a lot.
But the Mecha Ape isn't an endurance challenge, Ethan, because you can just stand in front of him and can't be hit.
Oh, well. Oh, no. Really, if I'm going to play a game about sweet ninjas, I'm going to go play Mark of the Ninja, because that game's amazing. So,
okay. Well, it's October now. Should we talk about horror games? Have you played A Machine for Pigs yet?
I have not. I don't actually own Amnesia. I just
you didn't play the first Amnesia, did you?
No.
That's definitely the better of the two for you.
Well, horror games don't interest me.
You should give Amnesia a try, especially if you can find it for free. I don't know if you can, but it's an experience. It gets old after about 3 or 4 hours, but it's odd. It is one of the few well-implemented horror games, because it's actually a horror game as opposed to a...
What? Like, it's not like Dead Space?
Yeah,
Dead Space is totally a horror game, guys.
It's not a game where you just have a gun and there are things that would be horrifying if you didn't have a gun.
A game's failed when it's supposed to be scary and you're looking at it like, I wonder, this big threatening thing that could probably squish me, I wonder if I could curb stomp this thing.
Extra Credits did a really great episode on this. They basically broke it down where horror is about disempowerment, and any time where you're empowering the player in a horror game, then you're probably not going to make a successful horror game. Because it's not scary if the players can just overcome all the challenges.
Did you play Dear Esther?
What?
You are not familiar with Dear Esther?
No.
Oh, huh. I would think that you would be aware of it. Probably not play it. It's one of those, what is video games? Games that came out last year. You don't really have any verbs. You're just sort of interacting with an island and it's telling you a story and you find notes that are left there and you're piecing things together. And
it
you
sounds
don't,
like Mist.
Yeah, you don't know right away that there's no danger or enemies, but, you know, it's slowly revealed to you that the things that seem threatening aren't.
Huh.
And so the team that made that, the guys who made Amnesia, are like, that's cool, you should make Amnesia 2. And so Amnesia 2 doesn't really have any game systems. Like, there's no finding oil for your lantern, there's no sanity. So a lot of people find it dissatisfying. It's an interesting story, and, you know, it's like $10, which is cheaper than a DVD for more than a DVD's
worth of content.
Worth of content, and you are interacting with it.
Actually, it kind of fits here. You know, I mentioned that Mutant League Football thing.
Quite.
Did you ever play that as a kid?
I never played Mutant League Football. A lot of people have fond memories of it, I know, but...
Well, it's one of those entertaining things. He's on a breakaway, he's gonna get the touchdown, and he stepped on a landmine.
Damn.
Well, I guess that's gonna be a first and goal from the 5-yard line. Well, they're remaking it. You probably saw that on the blog I posted a short kind of advertisement for the Kickstarter, because while they did have a full advertisement in Game Informer for it, it's not actually got a studio backing it. They're using Kickstarter to get funds to...
I was going to say, define a studio. I mean, like a guy in his basement is a studio, if
well,
you want to
call
like it.
Like, they don't have one of like the big names, like Activision or EA, behind them with
money.
They
don't have a publisher.
They don't have anybody with money backing them. It's just they're looking to the fans while they are looking for $750,000.
That's not an obscene
budget.
Well,
also, because they're looking to put it on all the mobile platforms, the Xbox 360 and the PS3. I don't know if the Wii U has one.
I've noticed a lot of old games have been doing Kickstarters to revive this series recently. They did a Shantae Kickstarter up recently.
The big one for this is that the guy who actually made the first Mutant League Football, is actually like the lead guy on the reboot. The only reason he didn't do it before is because the trademark hadn't
expired.
That said, it's also called Mutant Football League.
That actually brings up a decent topic. Until recently, when Strider got a new game on the Xbox Live Arcade, a lot of people said it needed a sequel or perhaps a reboot, if you like that phrase. What are games you guys want to see remade or rebooted from back in
the day? They're remaking mine.
Pick a new one.
Mutant League Hockey.
Don't cheat.
I might have to give this a little bit of thought.
I'd like to see a Blitz.
Kind of the last Blitz game did not impress me. I think they need to go more arcadey and less new features.
Oh, definitely.
And that's the only way to... I think I would be fine with just Blitz 2000 on Xbox Live Arcade for $5.
So this isn't a specific game so much as a genre that kind of died was 3D platformers in general. The walk around and collect stuff games.
There's a reason they died.
No, there isn't.
Well,
the reason they died is because frat boys like shooters.
While Zach is spiteful and full of hate, I kind of agree with him. And I honestly think Banjo-Kazooie is the answer to 3D platformers. I feel like that's just the best one.
I'm not
really anywhere to go with them. That's being a little unfair, because Minecraft is sort of a platformer in 3D in a certain way. It's, you know, got the gimmick of you can reshape your terrain, and so that opens up a lot of new movement options.
Well, I like the big worlds that you could explore with very specific goals in them.
They're
a lot of fun.
I think worlds now are too big. If they made a big world, quote-unquote, it would just feel too big. You would have to hide way more in it, and it would feel like you were finding stuff all the time, or things would be too well hidden.
Yeah, no, that's why I like the small, well-crafted areas that have a lot of secrets around nooks and crannies, but you can reasonably find all of them. The open-world sandbox has become so popular that we no longer make smaller but deeper worlds. Although, from what I hear, GTA 5 is so full of no one's ever going to find all of it.
I was just going to say, in this case, I'm not being spiteful. The 3D platform stopped going because developers tried it, and it didn't work because everything that they could do with it, 2D platformers, can't believe I'm saying this, did it better.
I don't think that's right, because I think they do very different things. I think that we just...
You can do similar things. I play 2D platformers that give me the same feel as 3D platformers, but I see what you're going for.
I just think the 3D platformer is not a done conversation, but it's so close to done that...
Why bother?
Yeah, why not just integrate that sort of stuff in an open world game, like they have? I'm sad to see it, because I love Mario 64, and I love Banjo-Kazooie, but I'd kind of rather just go back and play those than see another one.
I don't know. I feel like they could be improved upon, but...
I suppose I'm bouncing back quite a bit here, but to answer Jeremy's question on a more serious note on that, I think I'd probably have to say Ogre Battles. I'd like to see another game like that. One of the reasons why I love Fire Emblem and XCOM and the record games so much is because they give me that same feeling.
Seeing why I agree with you, I kind of feel like just Fire Emblem is so much better as a game that I don't really think I need an Ogre Battle. Because XCOM also, it's different, but I think that genre of game has gotten way better than Ogre Battle.
Well, I'm just like a modern-day retouching, taking the knowledge of the things that we've already seen and figured out with stuff like XCOM and the old ones and stuff like that. I think you could make that game again. I mean, actually have the feeling of deploying an army, whereas in Fire Emblem and XCOM, you're on a much smaller scale. Because that was one thing that Ogre Battle did, is it felt like at least you were in charge of an army rather than just a small team of individuals who are damn near godlike.
Well, it's the Gygax versus pre-Gygax debate. Control an entire army or control, like, four guys. Oh, no, I was trying to think about it, and there aren't really a lot of franchises that I liked that died. As far as, like, I'm trying to think of some, and I can't.
I'm actually having the same problem.
And I'm trying to think of something, and Pokemon's still going.
Yeah.
Mario is... I don't like modern Mario as much, but it's still going.
Yeah.
And I think they're doing interesting things with it.
Zelda's still going.
Zelda's still great.
Yeah, Zelda is continuously good. They haven't done a Metroid for a while.
Other M sucked.
Yeah.
And that was only a couple years ago.
That was because they had Team Ninja do it. Well, I am not a fan of Metroid, and they said Team Ninja is making the new one, and I looked at it and went, that's going to be bad.
Originally, they were just doing the artwork, but then they also had to take up the writing, and they're like, well, why not? And I think that was a poor choice. I think handing the writing to them, bad idea.
I will say, Dead or Alive games are actually quite good. I like them.
But they're fighting games.
Yeah, well, Ninja Gaiden is supposed to be, at least, I've never played it, but it's at least supposed to be decent.
Fair enough. I wanted another Kirby game, but then they made Return to Dreamland, and it was pretty much everything I wanted. I mean, not quite as awesome as Superstar, in my opinion, but still pretty good.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something. I mean, I know there's got to be something.
I'd like to see an updated version of the Pokemon trading card game, video game, because I lost my copy.
Really?
It was with all of my other original Game Boy games.
Gotcha.
Which I lost.
See, the battery is dead in my copy.
I was going to say Heroes of Might and Magic, but they released Heroes of Might and Magic 6, and it's everything I wanted out of a sequel to Heroes of Might and Magic.
You know what
Magic
I would like
3.
To see another one of, but they're doing that, kind of, is another Mech Commander game.
What is Mech Commander?
It's a Mech Warrior RTS, basically.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's where I started really defining things. It's a more real-time tactical type of games, because you have a limited... You can't build 5,000 mechs. It's, I'm going to deploy a Highlander, two Ravens, and allow who? And if I manage to salvage something in mission, awesome. And I just basically spoke Chinese, didn't I?
Oh, no, I got some of that.
You're going to deploy some proper nouns, and they're going to blow up some other proper nouns.
Hey, the only thing I lament about that is that you can't do Highlander burials on anybody.
What is a Highlander burial?
In Battletech, a Highlander, a Highlander is a 90-ton mech with jump jets. Also, the fluff of it it's supposed to have reinforced legs. So they would jump on each other.
I know a style of game I would like to see that I haven't for a while, and it's maybe because I haven't looked. Have you guys ever played Free Space?
That doesn't sound familiar.
It's basically It's like a flight simulator, but in space.
Oh,
with
okay.
Spaceships.
Yeah.
But
that genre just kind of died, huh?
And
yeah,
I don't know why, because they're still really fun. I really like flight simulators, especially ones where there's combat.
Did you guys ever play that X-Wing versus TIE Fighter?
No, but everybody loves it.
No, I played Rogue Squadron.
I played Rogue John had
similar.
It.
No, Rogue Squadron is decried by X-Wing vs. TIE Fighter fans because it's way simpler.
Yeah, X-Wing vs. TIE Fighter is like a freaking flight sim. There's like 6,000 buttons.
It's not quite that many, but you customize your ship a little bit. You can put more power in shields or speed or weapons when you're going out. And if you play TIE Fighter first, you're like, what are these whiny rebels doing with their shields? Whips.
I can survive a laser hit? Oh my god!
Easy mode.
I was never very good at it. But yeah, you're right. You don't see any of those.
They're really a lot of fun, and I don't know why they were abandoned.
Really, the closest thing that anybody's done to those for a long time was Reach, that one level in which you are flying the spaceship. But it's like half the level, and then it's we're done.
I feel like Star Fox needs a good and actual successor to 64.
Let's go Star Fox. That's my answer. I want another rail shooter when you're in an R-Wing.
Really, what we want are awesome rail shooters. So
Pokemon Snap is good.
Yep.
Bulletstorm is not actually a rail shooter, but it has that feel.
Bulletstorm was an interesting game.
Interesting is Hollywood for I hated it.
It wasn't bad. It was different. There were a lot of things I didn't like. There were things I did like. It was very mediocre.
Well, speaking of things
I might
we
loan
like
that to you at one point. Just
things we don't
see what
like.
You think, Tyler.
I think we're probably close to time now. Or close to an acceptable time. Sorry if we're a little short. Strider just didn't.
We had nothing to
much.
Say.
Tyler, what should we play next time?
I've wanted to do this for a couple times now, and now that we're out of sequel months and it's my turn to choose, I think we're going to do Super Star Wars, especially since I just watched the original trilogy like 2 weeks ago again, so.
How did it hold up for you?
Pretty well, actually.
You mean the trilogy?
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Well, they're coming out with the J.J. Abrams one, and it's going to be really weird having the Disney logo in front of Star Wars instead of 20th Century Fox.
Is J.J. Abrams doing the new ones?
Yeah. The first one, at least.
7, 8, 9?
Yeah. At least seven.
Oh, that's going to be awkward.
It's going to be lots of lens flare, probably, yep. But maybe he'll shy away from it. You know, Star Wars doesn't seem like it would have any lens flare.
That is true. It's all gritty and dirty. That's kind of the feel of Star Wars. So, we're going to do Super Star Wars, the game in which you play as Luke but have no lightsaber.
Well, he didn't really have one in A New Hope. I mean, he has it, but he doesn't use it.
That is true.
You don't read Darths and Droids, huh?
No.
They just got to Empire and the one for today was pretty great. It was Obi-Wan talking, and he's like, you must go to Yoda and learn. He's like, why can't you just teach me, Obi-Wan? He's like, because this technique is very imprecise, and I don't know how long I will last. And someone's like, 1d6 turns. It's like, wait, Obi-Wan, come back. I can't. I only rolled a 4. Sorry.
It is, I think, 1d6 turns.
to Force Ghost.
It's actually in the Saga Edition that we
really?
Have, that we yeah. played. Yeah, you can Force Ghost.
Yeah.
We never would have gotten there, given the fact that our
Does,
party
do
of pirates...
Do you have to be a dead Jedi to Force
yeah.
Ghost? Okay. So you can continue to play your character as a dead Jedi?
Kinda.
I think you're NPC, but you get to control your...
Your NPC?
Yeah.
Well, I think it says, like, create another character. You're technically dead, but your other character can show up and help every now and then
at
as
GM
a Force
discretion
Ghost.
Or something. Right. Okay.
So next time on Last Time, a new game, we hope.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2013.
All of the video games and other media mentioned herein is copyright of its respective owners. That may not be obvious.
You can contact us at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. And if you want to contact one of us individually, I am Zach@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Tyler@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Or Jeremy, Jeremy, @lasttimeonvideogames.com.
You can visit our show page, if you don't want to hit the blog, at gplus.2/lasttimeonvideogames.
If you do want to visit the blog, lasttimeonvideogames.com.
And we've got an RSS feed. You should probably click on it, or one of the other buttons on there.
We're also on iTunes.
And the Twitters.
Twitter is @LTOVG.
Unlike all the games we play on this show, we cannot be emulated.
Fleens? You're not fleens? Well, whatever you are, make me a pizza!